The movie Courageous. We are going to be starting a study group with that movie, going along with the thoughts that fathers need to be committed to their families. I have a couple statistics here. Fatherless children are 5 times more likely to live in poverty than those with both parents. Unwed mothers, 71% of unwed mothers on Medicaid. Teenagers and kids are 4 times more likely to have an affective disorder. 77% of families are more likely to experience physical abuse if they don't have a father figure. And 50% of women in prison had no father figure. So that is going to be started up by my grandfather, and it should end on Father's Day, right? Or yes. The movie will be next Sunday, yes.
Carl asked me to do an announcement.
Ethan.
May 20th, is that the date of the movie?
Yes.
Yeah, on May 20th, here at Little Sotar from 6:30 to 8:30, we're going to be viewing this movie. Everyone is invited to that. And then the idea of the movie is we're going to get a group of men together and do a men's Bible study based on what we see in the movie. There's some Bible studies that go along with it, and we're going to go ahead and do that. So those meetings will be in the evening sometime. We don't actually have the day of the week that it'll happen, but we'll try and get everybody together and figure out the best time to do that. So men, just keep that in mind. And everyone, please keep in mind the movie on May 20th.
All right. If you haven't figured it out already by our key youth participants, today is Youth Sunday. So we're going to see if we can get you guys fired up this morning. Tonight is also Love Feast.
Before you move on there, I just want to embarrass her real quick. Actually, I'm not going to embarrass her. She's standing up here because she has the biggest mouth, but Jenna organized most of the service. We've got youth doing ushers. Carl Kaufman got the props. Alexis is playing the piano, so there's a lot more people involved than just this one. So keep that in mind as you see the youth as you leave the service today.
It's not just me. I just have a big mouth. That's, like you said, I'm just loud. Tonight is Love Feast at 6 o'clock, so we'll meet downstairs for the Last Supper and feet washing. We also want to highlight the point that for any of you who did not know this, the church has a Facebook page. A little unusual, but it was very instrumental in the last week, having been Preschool Sunday. A lot of preschool parents found it very nice to go on and find pictures, so we just want to highlight that to make sure you all know that it's there. This past weekend was the 1 year anniversary of the Gathering Place. I think you're up here. Would you like to say something about that?
Yeah, we had, in addition to our Friday and Saturday schedule, we had music there Friday and Saturday evening, and live music, and lots of free food. And there were a lot of folks who came. Some people saw the lights on and thought they would come in for a bite to eat, not realizing it was our 1 year anniversary, and ended up staying. And it was really just a great time. So thanks.
Thanks to everybody who went and made that a great evening. One more announcement that I have. The mother and daughter banquet is this Saturday evening here at 6 p.m. We'll have a meal and entertainment that will be fun and exciting. So does anybody else have any announcements or joys and concerns?
Just gonna highlight that Rufus Bayshore's daughter, Patsy Bayshore Bolts, died this week, and also if we can keep that family in our prayers, as well as Paul Emmerich passed away on Monday, if we can keep the Emmerich family in our prayers.
All right, if there are no more announcements or joys and concerns, we'll lift those up to God in prayer.
Bow your heads and close your eyes. thank you that we can come before you with those things that weigh heavy on our hearts. You have heard the concerns and joys that we share. We thank you for your presence with the families who have experienced the death of a loved one. We thank you for your presence as individuals face illness. We also thank you for the joys that lift us up in our lives. We come before you now, Lord, to ask that you be comforting to those who are hurting and to lend a guiding hand to steer us along the right path. Be with us as we stumble through this chaos called life. These things we ask in your name. Amen.
Please join me in the call to worship. The God of love and grace be with you.
And also with you.
No matter our differences, we are called together for worship and service.
We are God's co-workers in constructing God's building.
The foundation has been laid by the wise master builder, Jesus the Christ.
Each one of us needs to pay attention.
Let us construct bridges between us and them and come together to worship the one who welcomes all.
We welcome each other in the same way that Christ welcomes us.
We've got some music for you this morning, so you all need to stand up. Like to do, it's gonna get you up and kind of moving. Feel free to bounce along and please sing with us. We love to hear your pretty voices. So hard to get that right through, but Ken Miedema sang this song with us for the first time, and he had this special thing. Each verse was written for a special occasion. So this verse, this one right here, was originally written for a worldwide handshake-a-thon. So in order to honor the handshake-a-thon, you need to shake some hands. Come on. Stop. Again, this one was written for the worldwide back scratch. I know we have some itchy backs out there this morning, so let's scratch some backs.
Thank you.
that one was coming. This verse was written for the 100 years of hugs. So let's share some love, let's give some hugs this morning. Than we saw at first service. We should get you guys more often. This next one that we're gonna do is kind of a more somber one. Get you thinking. Really listen to the words. May not have heard this one before, but it's pretty repetitive, so feel free to please join in when you're comfortable, and please join in on the chorus. It's fairly easy. One that we'd like to do is kind of a happier one as we lead into our time of worship. It's, again, fairly simple. I think we've done it here before, so some of you might know it, some of you might not, but that's okay. When you pick it up, join in, sing along with us. Thank you.
Now we're going to take the offering. We know there are many gaps that need our attention. In our denomination, our church family, our interaction with those outside the church, our relationships with and our connection with God. There is always room for growth and better communication. God gives us patience and encouragement to help us, but we must also be active participants. With the help of the offering this morning, let us create new ways to come together as a church, to reach out to others, and to begin bridging the gaps in our lives. The ushers may now come forward. O God, our offering proclaim the work and worship are one, that life is undivided. Use these gifts for your church's ministries of reconciliation, service, and mercy. Amen.
Thank you. As Savannah announced earlier, we're having Love Feast this evening. And we're having it at 6 o'clock, which is a change in time, an hour earlier than we typically have it in the evening. And within our tradition, we refer to the bread and the cup as symbols or elements. There are some traditions where they're referred to as sacraments. And within those traditions where they're referred to as sacraments, that means that they actually, the elements themselves contain the grace of God within them. Within our tradition, we believe that the juice and the bread don't actually contain, they're not actually the body and the blood of Christ, but they're symbols of the body and the blood of Christ. And we believe that as we gather together and break bread and drink of the cup of the new covenant together, that it's then that Christ is in the midst of his body, because Jesus said, where two or three gather in my name. And so we want to ask God's blessing on the bread and the wine, that as we break bread together this evening and as we drink from the cup of the new covenant together this evening, we would be open to receiving the presence of Jesus in our midst and becoming more fully the body of Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these elements, these symbols of your body and your blood. And we pray your blessing upon them so that this evening when we gather together and we sit across the table from one another and break bread together and share this cup together, that we would be reminded of the work that you did for us at Calvary so that we could be the body of Christ. Be present with us this evening, and whenever we gather together in your name, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to have a children's story now, so I invite all the kids to come on up. And you can come up and sit on these steps. Have you ever gotten mad at someone because you disagreed with them? Because they didn't want to do the same thing you did? Anybody ever get mad at somebody like that? Want to share a story? Well, I remember when I was around your age, my sister and I used to always fight over what game we were going to play. I bet we all have disagreed with a brother or sister, or with our mom and dad, or our grandma and grandpa, or with a friend at school. What about when our parents want us to clean and we want to go play with our toys or go outside? Or at school, when the teacher wants us not to talk, but we want to talk to our friends. There are always lots of people who don't have the same ideas or like the same activities that we do. Let's look at this for a minute. Let's say we are vegetable oil. Where this vegetable oil. If we add more oil to the jar, it mixes easily. It's like adding something that we agree with, our friends. If a friend at school wants to color a project green, and we like the color green and we want to color it green too, we're going to agree. so then we'll get along. Or if your brother or sister wants to watch the same movie as you do, then you're not going to fight over that. But what if we add some vinegar to the jar? This is like adding something that doesn't mix well. Can you all see? Does that look like it's mixing together?
Yeah.
That's mixing together?
No.
Yeah. So when we add something, when we have a friend at school who wants to color a project red and we don't like the color red, then we're not going to agree with them. Or if your brother or sister wants to play a video game and you want to watch a movie, then we're not going to agree with them. We all know it's hard to be happy and get along when we don't agree with someone. So what do we do about it? Are we going to scream and yell and get even madder at the person? Well, we might, but is that what we should do? What should we do? You could talk to your parents, or you could talk to them about what you don't agree, or compromise, say, if I do this together with you, then you can do this with me. But do you know who else can help us? God can. Let's say this soap is God. If we put God into the mix of the disagreeing, what happens? Does it mix together now? Everything is mixed. If we see people as God sees them, we get along. But if we don't see people as God sees them and respect their ideas, or we don't mix, we don't get along. But if we treat them as God treats them, then we will always get along. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for accepting us the way we are. We know that people are going to be different than us, but help us to listen to everyone and respect their ideas and their opinions. With your help, let us learn to compromise and love each other no matter what. Amen. You guys can go back to your parents. May God.
Lord, why don't they listen?
Why can't they see my side?
Obviously, this is good.
This is so bad.
Just because I'm old.
Young.
Conservative.
Because I'm a liberal.
Quiet.
Loud.
Just because I'm me.
Just because I'm different.
Doesn't mean I'm wrong.
May God, who gives us patience and encouragement.
Are they listening to me?
I don't want to listen to them.
I don't want to hear this.
Are they hearing me?
Help you live in complete harmony.
For once, I'm being stubborn.
I am going to take them hear me.
I won't give in.
Why should I give in?
It's their fault.
Live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ.
I'm drawing my line in the sand.
My line in the sand.
My line.
I'm drawing my line.
And I'm not crossing it.
Then all of you,
I don't know what to do.
What should I do?
I don't know how to do this.
What now?
All of you can join together with one voice.
I'm not the one who's wrong.
They should come to me.
I'm not going to fold.
I'll stand here as long as necessary.
With one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
But we worship together.
We work together.
We are neighbors.
They're my family.
They're my friend.
My sister in Christ.
My brother in Christ.
Therefore, accept each other.
But I'm not comfortable.
Not comfortable talking.
Not comfortable listening.
I'm not comfortable with this.
Accept each other.
It makes me so angry.
Scared.
So sad.
Ashamed.
Uncertain.
As Christ has accepted you.
What if they ignore me?
What if I ask a question and they laugh?
What happens if it turns into a blame game?
What happens if we can't fix this?
What happens if I can't move on?
Why can't we compromise?
Why can't we learn from each other?
Why can't I cross the line?
So that God will be given glory.
Just because I have a different idea.
Because I'm not on a committee.
Because I'm new to the church.
Because I don't have a degree.
Just because I don't always understand.
Because I disagree.
Because I have a different opinion.
Just because I'm not you.
Doesn't mean I'm wrong.
May God, who gives us patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory.
You guys got out of it easy, but I think since you were a more energetic crowd with the singing this morning, we'll let y'all be. But you people up here, you're the special people in the choir, and we have a job for you. We're going to need some help with our skit. So our two foremen here are kind of going to come and grab a couple of you. Come on. Yes, you. Grab people, be forceful. It's okay. They'll come. Go ahead and follow Shelby over. If Shelby called you, go over with her. She needs some help. We come across gaps in our everyday lives. We meet people who are different from us in ways that cause gaps in communication. We have to find a way to interact with those who are different from us so we can get along. We fill these gaps by listening carefully, understanding that we are not always right, and finding things that we do agree on. It can be hard to change our ways or listen to what others have to say, but we must do it if we want to move forward in our friendships, in our congregation, in our community, in the world. These don't look very much like a bridge, do they? Eventually, they're going to end up like one. So builders, how do we finish the bridge? With the pieces we have, we can start to bridge the gap, but we are not able to fully complete the bridge. We need Christ's help to bridge the gap. We need to be open and willing to look at the issues in different ways. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young we are. We need to be aware of our gaps in the church. The only way we can do this is if we allow God to lead the way. On them. Very eager to bridge the gap, but we're not quite going there. And now we have our bridge. So thank you. You guys can sit down.
I saw the way he looked at me.
Like everyone my age is the same.
As if I had nothing to offer the world around me.
People that age will never see what I'm capable of.
Or what I have to offer the world.
They don't understand my enthusiasm for life.
The wisdom I have to offer the world.
The determination and drive.
I mean, I'd really like to help the guy.
Kind of looks like a loner.
I wonder if he's got a family to
care for him.
Show him the way.
If he'd give me a chance,
I'd listen to what he has to say.
Nice day for a run, eh?
Come here every morning? I don't know why I try. People that age,
they're all the same.
So what did you see in the brief video illustration? What differences did the joggers have? What similarities? In our world, we use differences in opinion, wealth, and in circumstances to identify who we are as individuals. In the school, we have the gothic people, the artsy people, the jocks. They dress in different ways to set themselves apart from the other students. But inside, they may be very similar. But they are defined by their differences. And the disunity seems natural. Across the world, there are many different groups formed on the basis of very strongly supported ideas. Differences in wealth, religious beliefs. With the presidential election coming up, differences in politics. As the Church of the Brethren, we have our differences too. But we try to celebrate our togetherness. We meet physically and are comforted by each other's presence. When I was really little, one of my favorite things to do every single week was run up to the pastor's wife at the end of the service and get a big hug from Connie Kopp. The physical togetherness made it seem like it was enough. We come to church, we sit together, but that's not enough. Paul offers the missing component within our scripture from today. Paul says we exist as a collective of believers, so we can more effectively communicate and perform the word of God. We are to continue the work of Jesus peacefully, simply, together. Does it sound familiar? How do we fall short of fulfilling this commandment? As humans, we're all easily influenced by our world. We tend to classify each other based on differences, the goths, the artists, the jocks. Here in the church, it could be the music people, the conservatives, the liberals, age, finances, education, distribution of church funds. It may not be intentional, but it distracts from our ability to function as a united whole. In other words, when we don't see eye to eye, we can lose sight of what is important. When not discussed openly and effectively, they become gaps in our bridge. So what are our gaps? Through the New Testament, Jesus continuously reaches across socioeconomic and cultural boundaries. He confronted the poor, the lame, and the Gentiles alike in his ministry. Take the woman at the well in John 4. When Jesus approaches this woman, he breaks not one, but three Jewish customs. First one, he approaches a woman. Second one, she's a Samaritan woman. and this group was despised by the Jewish people. And the third one is he asked her for water, which would make him ceremonially unclean based on religious customs. Even before the dialogue starts, Jesus has reached across his rigid social customs, the bridging gaps of that time. It's important to note that the women questioned Jesus, almost accusing him of lying. Without telling her she's wrong, he kindly explains the truth of his words. He manages to bring up her five husbands, but never openly accuses her of sin. Instead, he focuses on his coming and on the truth of his word. It's pretty safe to assume the woman, after talking to Jesus, was eager to spread his word. Jesus was able to create a bridge between them. He passively guided the woman from her sin without directly condemning it. He didn't force her into action. He simply started a respectful conversation. There are more examples, Zacchaeus for one, where the discussion in his home, Jesus leads Zacchaeus to the truth. Jesus, without condemning him, was able to lead him to salvation. Jesus washed his disciples' feet in John 13, much like we'll be doing tonight. He healed the leper in 1 Mark and defended the adulteress in John 8. What then does this require of us? In all of these interactions, two distinct events almost always take place. First, Jesus creates or starts a conversation. And second, he engaged in respectful dialogue, avoiding condemning whomever he was talking to. Here we see a model for spanning the gaps in the church today. We must take the leap of recognition and confrontation. While it's difficult to admit our differences, it's critical to identify and face the gaps so they can be discussed. With the gaps recognized, it's important to encourage conversation regarding them and how they stop us from carrying out the church's mission. We must model after Jesus. Avoid condemning and focus on respect. Keep Christ the center. The idea isn't to eliminate gaps. It's to bridge them in a way that does not detract from the church's greater purpose. Here at Little Sotara, we're strong on music. If everybody sings what note they want, without regard for the structure of the piece, it's going to sound pretty terrible. Nothing is going to go together the way it's supposed to. On the other hand, music sung in unison can be very, very powerful. But music sung in harmony, with all the different notes working together, creates a richer and fuller sound. When the gaps are bridged, we complement and strengthen Christ's body, just like the harmony complements a song. Will you please pray with me? Dear Lord, as we leave this place today, help us to respect our differences, recognize our gaps, and work on how we can bridge them. And use that bridging to make us a stronger congregation. Help us to avoid condemning others and focus more on respect. Also help us to keep Christ the very center. Amen. So will you please stand and join me in hymn number 304, our last song, There Are Many Gifts.
Thank you.
God, you, here and now, fill this place. It is you who binds us together, the cornerstone of our spiritual home holding us firm. As we have come glorifying you, so now we may leave. And let us, in the continual effort to bridge our gaps, unite as one body capable of trumpeting our praises to the heavens in perfect harmony. Guide us, comfort us, challenge us. Amen.